Happy New Year, everybody, and welcome to the first edition of the Sal and Bob Show for the year 2022. This is we're embarking on our fourth year of podcasting together, buddy. How great is that?
Who would have thunk it, as they say?
Yeah, we're going to be bumping up against our 200th episode soon. That's a milestone in itself, isn't it?
That's great, man. A lot of fun. Picked up some new listeners in the last couple months.
And the list keeps growing. I mean, when we first started out, we had something like 1,000 for a couple of months, and then it went to 4, and then 8, and then 50. Now we're bumping 60,000 listeners.
Yeah,
all over the world. Really happy about that.
Well, I we appreciate everybody listening. You know, I mean, a lot of this is
for hanging in with
just because we like to. Me and you like to talk to each other. We like to talk about the current
events.
I always
like to talk to you, Sally.
We like to talk about everything that's going on. But today, we are dining in style.
Oh man,
we are dining in style, baby.
We're in suit and tie today, folks. We'll throw up some pictures of our event down here in the next week or so on the Sal and Bob Facebook page, Twitter page. This is not the kind of place you come to in jeans and tennis shoes. This is really cool, upscale, but a nice feel to it. You don't feel, it's not snooty, right?
No, not at all. Not at all. Great staff here. Renee White, the general manager.
Oh, she's gorgeous, isn't she?
Just kind of said hi. They got an executive chef, Steven Dudowitz. Hope I said that right.
You said that right.
You got Nicholas Trepanier, assistant general manager. Just the list goes down the line, but just a great establishment here. We are we're here at the townhouse, and we're just going to have a nice steak here. We are we're recording this the night of New Year's Eve. We are heading out to a show after this. We'll tell you about that on next week's episode. But we're grabbing a nice meal before the year ends.
This is it, man.
And we wanted to talk to you guys about it on our first episode of the year. So.
Yeah, it's good to be with you again, buddy.
You too, man.
It's kind of a nice way to wind down a hectic year. A problematic year again. I mean, 2021 wasn't any better than 2020. We had big hopes for it, right? We had a break there, like in this late spring and summer, and then we got hit with the COVID again.
The COVID.
The fall.
I know. You know, it came back, and it came back as Omicron. You know, it's not as deadly, they say.
Yeah, that's what they say. So. I think when I had COVID about, 3 weeks ago? I think it was Omicron I had, because I've read up on all the symptoms and stuff, and they say that Omicron doesn't affect your lungs, which is, you know, like the regular, and then the Delta version.
Yeah.
It's all about, your lungs, and, it attacks those. This was all in my sinuses and my throat, nothing in my lungs. I had no trouble breathing. It was just hard breathing through my nose.
Okay.
Just felt crappy for like 10 days, dizzy, nauseous, lost my sense of smell. That's coming back. So, you know, I mean, if that's all it is, okay.
Yeah.
Let's get through this.
Let's get through it. Everybody get it, right?
Yeah. Let's get everybody done with this nonsense.
And now I did go to the lavatory a little bit ago, or the bathroom. I don't know if I should say bathroom in an establishment like this.
You didn't
say
laboratory, did you?
Lavatory. And and I saw some of the Red Wing wives having dinner there,
because
the Red Wings have a game tonight.
Uh-huh.
Down here in Detroit. So it looks like the Red Wing wives are out tonight.
Oh, they're out. They're out by themselves when their husbands are down doing battle at Little Caesars Arena.
They go out. They go out to eat. So, I mean, it's not every single one of them, but I see like, five or six.
You know what's funny to me about that? I remember being a much younger man and seeing that, the Red Wings and the Red Wing wives and the Tiger wives.
Yeah.
And we were all sort of the same age. These are women in their 20s, mid to late 20s. These hockey players are so young.
I know. It is. It's kind of crazy when you think about that. We used to be.
How did you know they were Red
Wing
wives? Did you recognize?
No, the guy, the one of the waiters.
Oh, okay. He pointed them out. Okay.
He just kind of said to me, he goes, "Hey, look at look at that table over there. Those are all the Red Wing wives." I said, "Oh, okay, yeah."
Well, good for them and good for us, because this is a great place to be celebrating our fourth year in business as the Sal and Bob Show. We are heard in. I think our last tally, 73 countries. That's not bad. There's 195 countries on the planet.
It's okay.
Almost half. Not almost half. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that would mean. 45%. Who knows? But it's a great honor to be heard in Ghana, in France, in Australia, in the UK, in the United States. It's in Mexico. It's great.
And that's what this show's all about, because these people that are listening to us, if they come to America and they happen to land at Metro Detroit Airport, they say, "Hey, you know what? I used to listen to this show called the Sal and Bob Show, and I'm going to go to the townhouse from here."
Yeah.
Now that's how it happens.
Yeah. And are you listening, Townhouse? This one's dedicated to you. Let's talk about the menu a little bit here.
Well, I like how they have it's listed on a dinner, but I'm not sure. I think these are but they have their menu is I don't know if this is purposely done, but they use the word moments. Have you seen this? It's must-have moments for the appetizers.
Interesting.
And then you got shared moments. That must be the appetizer, shared moments, right? Because must-have moments must be for you. Must-have moments,
so.
Right?
I think so. I mean, and they
shared
have things-
moments would be dips and chips. Okay, baby squid, heirloom tomato, big eye tuna. That'd be a great name for one of the Soprano guys if they ever redid that.
Big it was eye big
tuna.
Eye.
Big Eye Tuna. Little Jem is his buddy that takes him around, right? Little Jem takes Big Eye Tuna around.
Toro Hamachi. Yeah. Okay.
Little Jem.
Pomegranate, Serrano strawberry, and black pepper. Okay. I have no idea how to combine those three things into an appetizer. Jeez. So we're going to have to order that, don't you think?
Yeah. And then they got the main moments. Okay. I see. At the bottom is the main moments. That's your main meal. And I may go crispy lasagna tonight and not get a steak, to be honest with you, man. I know we kind of do a lot of steaks.
Hey, you know what? I'm with you on that. They got some other thing. Look at this. Local poultry. Wait a minute. We're in Detroit. Where are these birds coming from? What do you mean local poultry? What does that even mean? I hope it's from a poultry farm and they're not down by the river, you know, picking off pigeons.
Yeah, no. I don't.
And
Looks like a great menu.
Okay, so they got some black bass, ribeye cap. Yeah, this is a great menu, and we're just joking about the locally sourced poultry. But anyway, yeah, interesting place, interesting people, but it's not stuffy.
No, great.
You don't, like, if you go down to certain restaurants in Detroit, you go down, and it's all about being stuffy. It's all about the hoity-toity, and some people like that. I'm way past that. I'm here for the food.
Correct, and it's a great establishment, so... if you're ever in the Detroit area, come to see a game here downtown. Some of our UP listeners in Lansing and Grand Rapids and you people up there, you can make it down to Detroit. Go to Townhouse. Do yourself a favor. So
come get yourself a $28 crab dip. It looks good.
Great,
we're going to get that too.
Yeah, that sounds really good, man. So
anyway, we're here. We're set up.
Let's booth.
Yeah, it's a nice booth. It's a great place. We initially talked about going to Hearth 71. We couldn't figure out whether they're open or not. We didn't get an answer on the phone. We don't know what's going on.
We wanted to go to the top of the Rensen, but we just made our way around here. We knew that the townhouse would be open.
Yeah. So here we are. And,
here we are.
Thanks for being with us. By the way, we're so social, aren't we?
Very social on all the networks, all the platforms.
Everyone. All the restaurants, all the comedy clubs, all one night. We'll socialize with you is what we're saying.
We even have these... You know, those tax guys that have the crazy things out in front of the... we have one of those for the Sal and Bob show.
You mean the Statue of Liberty?
Yeah.
Out in front of the Sal and Bob studio?
It's at Woodward and 9 Mile. We have it. It's down back by the dumpster, if you see it flapping in the wind.
We'll talk with you. We're not just going to hold a tablet or a torch and wave at you. We're very friendly. We're so social.
Very friendly.
Check us out on all the platforms, whether you're listening to us on iTunes or Pandora or... oh, my gosh. Stitcher,
Spotify.
Whatever. Spotify. I said Pandora, but it's not on Pandora. It's Spotify. And by the way, a proud member of the Perfecta Podcast Network.
Boys down there on tour, Matt Holt and,
Ross Duncliffe.
Ross Duncliffe.
Yeah. Yeah, Matt Holt. He's in love, though. What's up with Matt? I saw a Facebook post today. He's, I don't know. He looks like, they look like the Captain and Tennille. Those two. I don't know, what a reference for you. A 40-year-old. That's a 45-year-old reference, people. The Shields and Yarnell.
They looked like, you might as well have said they looked like Lawrence Welk, what you were saying.
That's even too far back for me.
No, man, I saw the picture. Matt's
Donnie
got
and
a
Marie.
Silver beard going. He looks good, man. He looks good.
Yeah, they both
show,
look good.
So
they're in love.
Look forward to seeing Matty Ice soon and meeting his girlfriend. So.
Yeah. So here we are again, another episode. Really happy to be with you, buddy. A lot of stuff going on. We had a lot of stuff popping in the news. Ghislaine Maxwell. Boom!
Ghislaine.
Convicted.
Yeah.
Bing, bang, boom. Off
she's
to the clink.
Gone. So she's off to the clink unless she starts handing out some address books.
Yes.
The black books.
I hope that's what happens.
You know, and let us know who was in that circle.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, she.
You kind of know, but there's no proof, right?
Well, there's pictures.
We got
records
Andrew.
Of who went on those planes, who went on those the island, the Epstein Island.
Well, you had Clinton, who was there like more than 20 times. You had Trump, that was there like 10 times. And Prince Andrew, who knows how many times he was there.
Clinton was there 20 times. All right, the shrimp wasn't that good over there, right?
He wasn't going for the crustaceans.
I mean, come on. Somebody goes there 20 times, and he brought Hillary zero.
What does that tell you? She didn't want to go. That arrangement they've had for this long. I always thought when he was out of office they would divorce because it's such a bullshit marriage anyway. It's such a fraud, you know, the two of those.
Well, they don't ever let it be known.
Whatever.
They do events together.
He's on the Lolita Express over 20 times. What does she do? I don't know. I don't even care.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah.
But I will say this. It's well documented, my distaste for Trump and all the kooks that stormed the Capitol. However, the Democrats are not really my cup of tea either. So I don't really have a home in any of this. But there's some talk, like just last week, they were floated. A trial balloon went up from the DNC that Hillary might run in 2024 with Kamala.
She'll be back.
Are you kidding me? It's like, wait a minute. Do you have any brains at all?
They don't have anybody.
Look, Trump got elected the first time because people hate her. Okay, I hate her only slightly less than I hate Trump, right? What are you doing with this retread?
They won't go. I don't think they will. I really don't.
I hope they don't, because it's going to be it's sure loss.
I mean, it's going to be, and it would be Trump versus her again.
Ugh.
You know,
terrible.
What is this, Hearns Hagler?
Look, Hearns Hagler was historic, right? And poor Marvin, he lost his life late last year. But they put up a fight for the ages. You know, the Clinton-Trump thing was just a couple of shitheads. And it was like, you know, this was how I described it. I was on the Anthony Cumia show during the election. And Anthony asked me, so what do you think about this election? I said, well, here's what I think about it. In one hand, you have a turd. And the other hand, you have another turd. But this one's on fire. So wherever you fall on the political spectrum, you define which was on fire, right?
Yeah.
So we had no choices is what I'm saying. So I don't know, man. It's just such a shame that in this country, brilliant minds everywhere, that they're talking about those two.
I tell you what, if this young lady was a little younger and was still alive, I would have voted for her. Let's rest in peace, Miss Betty White.
Oh, yeah.
Betty White has passed away earlier today, actually, on New Year's Eve, just 17 days shy of her 100th birthday. I got into a YouTube rabbit hole with her.
You did that too?
Yeah, well, because she died. So I started, before we came down here for the show, I was just on my couch, you know, just I had like a half hour to blow, whatever. So I started reading about her and just everything she did. And this is how, like, I don't know if this is stupid, but so I read in the article that I was reading that she met her husband, her only husband, who died in 1981. Alan Ludden.
He was a game show host
for Password.
Okay.
And in the article, she's talking and she says, you know, I actually met him the very first time I ever did Password. That was the first time I was ever on that show was the time it was the first time I ever laid eyes on him. And it actually ironic. It was the day I did Password was the day before his wife died. His wife died the day before she did her initial show on Password and you know, was smitten by him and everything. Didn't know his wife was dying or had died. Anyway, I said, I got to go watch that episode. So I Googled that episode because I wanted to see her look at him. Of course.
Wow.
She had to sit right next to him.
Oh, that's right.
And I was watching this and I'm like, wow, this is like I'm seeing a love.
Blooming.
Love blooming.
Wow, that's great.
And I don't know if that's weird to do, but I was just like, I want to. I didn't watch the whole episode.
I would do that too. I'd want to go back.
I watched just some of it, you know. And, so anyway, Betty White was great, though.
Well, the thing people don't remember about Betty White was, by the time she met Alan Ludden, right, she was sort of passé. She was not an actress in movies. She was not, you know, she wasn't like an Oscar-caliber actress. She wasn't regarded in that way.
No.
She was a TV person. It was a whole different thing in the 60s and 70s, even in the 80s. You were either TV or you were movies. You were never both like it is now.
Yeah.
And so When she went on to guest on the Mary Tyler Moore Show as Sue Ann Niven, it was not supposed to be anything more than a one or two shot deal, right?
Yeah.
But the audience reaction was so great they brought her back as a regular character.
Wow.
So her star that, you know, was kind of made in the 50s and 60s and then had fallen came back big.
Yeah.
And then, of course, she went on to star in The Golden Girls, which cemented her as this sort of iconic American star with a that was such a great, you know, such a well written show.
I used to love that show. I used to literally love that show. Yeah. I mean, I would watch it. I would watch it in the reruns. I don't necessarily remember watching it when it was literally on CBS.
No, I don't either, but I remember the reruns.
The reruns more than that. Yeah. Oh, that's great. It's a great story.
Well, good for her. So, yeah, but she's gone now, and she made it almost to 100.
Man, I guess they're still going to have that party for her, so that's kind of cool. Yeah, they're going to, I mean, I guess everybody's coming out for it. It's going to be like a big party, January 17th, man, or 100. They're still going to have it. Why not? They had it all planned.
I think it's great because, you know what? This country needs, I don't care what it is, we need something to rally around and have some fun with because we're just so divided. It's like everybody loved her. Let's have a little fun.
No, it's kind of weird. I was thinking about this today, but it's like I wish, and this is, I'm not trying to be morbid, like I'm glad these two people died. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is it was like, it sucked because Kobe Bryant died in this horrific, you know, helicopter crash at the start of the pandemic, right? And, well, then, you know, after he died, then we entered a pandemic, right? And it's like now Betty White died, and it should be just so peaceful for us to go move on from the pandemic after Betty White, right?
Wouldn't well,
that be
let's
perfect?
Hope.
You know, that'd be perfect to
let's hope.
Move on, you know?
Yeah. I agree. Something that that's sort of, it's not a lighthearted thing. She passed, but it is a lighthearted thing. She was a TV star, and everybody knew her and loved her. So let's have a little frothy
99 years.
Fun
she had
with
a
it.
Great, great long life, man. You know, I would take 99 right now. That would give me another.
Can I tell you what,
44 years or whatever.
I don't want to live to 99.
If I was as good as Betty White, she probably got drunk the night before she
I
passed
guess,
away.
But you know what? You're outliving your kids, right?
Well, I don't have any kids, but if I live to 99, I can have one now in LA.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Okay, so anyway, we're having a great time down here in Old Detroit. This is a great restaurant, the Townhouse, townhousedetroit.com. Check out their desserts. By the way, they have I want to talk about this dessert for a minute. Okay, so they have several here. The one that we've tried, the ice box, it's a frozen chest Sandoz ice cream.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you what that is all about because it's not exactly what you think.
Okay.
But you have to try it when you're down here, people. All right? Excuse me. That's the wine talking. Again, chocolate whiskey torta. Coffee, toasted marshmallow. Come on, people. Michigan cherry, that's good. Affogato, espresso, and Irish whiskey. Okay, that's a drink. Anyway, a lot of good stuff on here to cap your evening. And I didn't even know this was here until you pointed it out to
me. Well, it's a great place, man. And I really want to come back down here and have some other kind of stuff because you just can't have everything in one night, you know?
Well, I like the drink. The drink menu here, too, is good. The Snowbird, which is Mandarin bourbon, amaretto, cranberry, ginger, and orange. And then, of course, they have Snoop's favorite drink, gin and juice.
Gin and juice. I like that espresso Irish whiskey, that affogato. That sounds good.
I do, too.
I think I'm going to get that tonight. And they do have espresso drinks for only $4. Kidding me?
Yep. A lot of good stuff happening down here. So we wanted to talk to you a little bit about every episode. We like to kind of pull back the curtains on the stand-up business, right?
Yep.
Tell you a little about what we're doing, places that we're playing. I don't know that we do get comments from listeners saying, I liked when you talked about this aspect of stand-up. I didn't realize that. I liked when you brought up, how you get shows. I liked, talking about the travel between shows. So I thought maybe we talk about something tonight that we haven't talked about on the Sal and Bob show, and that is the thing that I get asked about the most, which is hecklers, which are hecklers. I don't know what's the correct way to say
heckler.
That. But when you it's kind of a funny thing when you tell somebody who you're just meeting or somebody you're getting to know. I don't know if this has been your experience, Sal. We talked a little bit off mic for this, but a lot of times, not all the time, but the majority of the time, people say, I don't think I could do that. I don't think I could do stand-up because I couldn't handle the hecklers. I couldn't stand people yelling at me or just insulting me. And it got me thinking, maybe this is a good time to talk about it, to tell people what it's really all about, right, in the biz.
Okay.
And from my, I'm going to ask, first I'll ask your perspective,
okay?
And then I'll give you mine. So,
okay.
In the 25 years you've been doing comedy, What's your history with the hecklers, and how have you dealt with them?
Okay, I guess to answer your question, I'm gonna do it in a two part. Okay, first of all,
roll tape.
The heckler, as far as like a heckler, like sitting in the front row or in the middle of the room, whatever, and disrupting the show by yelling stuff out and being rude and just being annoying and ruining the show, like that. event or that type of person, it hasn't happened that much to me.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, it just hasn't. I mean, has it happened? Yes. I've done thousands of shows. Has it happened? Not at the percentage you would think, but here's right. what has happened. This is not called the heckler. This is just called the crowd that doesn't really care that there's a comedian on stage. I've had more of those
yes.
than hecklers.
Absolutely, me too.
And they're not heckling me. They're just not giving a shit yeah. watching the game and
they're
talking
aggressively
and,
not giving a shit.
Yeah. yeah. So that's been more of a problem in my career than a heckler in the front row. So well, I don't know if that well answered put. Your question, but that's how I'm going to answer it.
Okay. So that's kind of what I thought you were going to say, because that has been my experience as well. However, there is another level up from the not giving a shit thing. You know, when you're in a one-nighter and there's a Red Wing playoff game on, it's been several years for that, but how many times have we been there? They don't even turn the TVs
off.
Well,
the wives are over there if you want to ask them the last time.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you met them in the can, as I recall, or coming out of the powder room. So there, you know, there. How many shows have we done during, you know, sporting events where they don't even turn the TV off? It's like, really?
Yeah.
You're going to leave the...
Does that count as a heckler? I mean, you know,
well, so, it's a distraction. Yeah. So it's a sort of an electronic heckler. But I'm with you. In my 20 years in this biz, you've got another five on me. In my 20 years, I can count on one hand, literally in one hand, out of the, I don't know, thousands of shows I've done. I don't know. What have I done? 2,000?
I mean,
something
least,
like that? Geez, three? I don't know. Maybe I should add them up someday. Yeah. Anyway, whatever it is, I can count on one hand the number of times I've had an aggressive heckler, man or woman, just coming at me and insulting me on purpose.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, it was unnerving, because I remember the first time it happened, I was really, I was only into this for like a year or two. I had no idea how to handle it. But then over time, you realize that the hecklers really are very few and far between. You have interrupters. You have people who are, quote unquote, just trying to help.
Yes.
You have those people
yep.
that are jumping in with a, you know, they think they're going to give you a tag to your joke, and they just mutter, you know, blah, blah, blah. You're like, wait a minute, what? So I'm going to say this. From my experience, I'm going to say probably half are annoying because they just blurt shit out, like a show we did recently.
Yeah.
I was doing a joke about our governor, Gretchen Whitmer, and in the middle of the joke, the guy just blurted out, well, what about her tattoo on her ass? I'm like, what? Did you, what? What are you saying? What does that even mean? So he wasn't trying to be a jerk. He wasn't insulting me personally. He was just interrupting. So
exactly. He was, and there's guys that, and that's another thing. Like, why do hecklers, if they do yell shit out, why can't you ever understand them? For some reason, hecklers like
because they're drunk.
Don't enunciate. I know, but even the crowd sometimes doesn't know what they're saying.
Yeah,
and you know, sometimes you just, you know, a lot of people have used the, you know, the stock line. It's Tourette's night. I know. Oh, I've used God. It, and I know it's pathetic.
I've done it too.
I've had to use it on a irate heckler that was just screaming and yelling, and I can't just scream at the guy, so I just say Tourette's night here, and the crowd loves it.
Of
and then
course.
After you say that. The stock Tourette's line, then you can kind of say, hey, shut the F, you know.
Yeah, right.
Shut the fuck up,
yeah.
you know. Like,
well,
after
that,
you do it with a nice, you know, a nice reply.
That brings up a very good point that I'm glad you brought up, because there are escalating responses. So people who wondered about this, people who have asked me over the years, how do you deal with hecklers? I'll say it this way. If they just blurt something out, you let the first one go, right? And then you keep moving.
Thank you,
if
Jennifer.
They blurt it.
Thank you, Jennifer, for pouring our wines for us. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's right. Thank you. Yeah.
No, it's all right.
it was a little bit noisy, wasn't it? You let the first one go, or I do. I don't know if that's your strategy.
Yeah, yeah.
You let
the first one go
because you don't want to derail the show if you don't have to.
No. And if you attack a heckler too strong, it makes you look like an idiot.
Yes.
So you got to wait for the heckler to get stronger in his. Then you can rail him, right?
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? Like if you rail a guy after he just, you know, blurted out something and the crowd didn't hear it, you're gonna look like an idiot.
Oh yeah,
you gotta brought that up, but
that's exactly why I'm saying I let the first one go.
Correct.
Unless it's so egregious, like
Correct.
It's first, you know, first row and
great
they
move.
Just, you know. So you let it go and then you kinda go and you put it in the back of your head, okay, they're gonna do this again, so how am I gonna, you know, how am I gonna answer this? And you have your answer line ready, whatever it happens to be, right? So if it turns out that they're just drunk or they're just happy and they just want to talk, You will. You'll talk with them. Okay. And it almost always turns out to be fun because the joke winds up being on them.
Well, let me bring up a really good point. Let me bring up a really good point on exactly what you just said. This is prime information. If there's comedians listening to this, you are getting shit that's in books that you don't have to buy because I'm telling you. The situation that you were just in where you said, you know, I'll let the first one go, right? Mm-hmm. And then you're going back and forth with a heckler, right? Remember, you have a mic.
Yes.
The heckler doesn't, correct?
Correct.
When the heckler, if the heckler's in the back of the room, then okay, maybe everybody hears it. But if the heckler's off to the right or the heckler's only two rows in front of you, the people in the back don't know what he or him, her is saying.
Yes, good point.
When you're doing the banter, say what they said.
You repeat what they said, yes.
Even if it's, you know, your mother had three tits. I don't give a shit. You still say it because you want to let the crowd know what that person said. A lot of heckler comics that I've seen don't do that, and the crowd's like, what?
What's going on up here?
He's calling her, but I didn't hear what she said to him.
And yes, yeah.
So it's very, very important that you repeat the crowd.
Yes, stand up 101. Repeat what the heckler said. Yes.
Joel and Bill should be teaching that. Yeah. I hope they are. I hope it's in their chapter.
We'll have to talk to them. It's got to be somewhere in their repertoire. But that's a very good point. Yeah, young comedians, listen. Repeat what the heckler
said. Even if they say your mother has three tits.
Yeah, because first of all, it's going to be stupid, and then the crowd's going to laugh at you repeating what they said.
Correct.
And then you give yourself time to, you know, just whatever it is, 2 or 3 seconds to formulate a response that's invariably funnier than what the heckler did.
Correct.
So now you're getting two laughs off of one drunk dumbass's utterances, right?
There you go.
Yeah.
Yep.
Good point, Sal. All right. Yep. So I don't know that I've shed any light on it except to say that for people who've asked me that, I mean, it's so many times. I mean, there's only been, like I said, there's been less than maybe 5 times.
Yeah.
Where somebody has been completely rude and just wouldn't stop and had to be removed.
I just haven't had it that much. I just haven't had it that much.
Tell me about, do you have any particular event in your mind that you remember that was particularly egregious on a heckler's part? I have one.
Yeah. I think I had one where, it was one of my fundraiser shows at Portofino. It was one of the ones where I was hosting, you know, the event, because a lot of times down there, especially a few years ago, I would just host these events and I'd bring in, you know, whatever. The night that I'm talking about, it could have been, you know, you and Dave Dyer as my comedians. I don't know if that was it, but it was Keith Leonard and Dave Dyer, whatever. But anyway, I hosted it. So I'm up there hosting and the crowd seemed a little chatty.
Yeah.
Like I could tell right off the bat.
Yeah, the fundraisers can be
chatty.
And it
was a lot of people. Yeah. And I went up there and I just, you know, I said my announcements and everything, and I said, hey, you know, you guys, I got some great comics coming up. I said, we all need to be quiet during the performances, blah, blah, blah.
Right? I'm doing all that. Like 4-year-olds,
because I can tell they're being loud. And this guy in the front row just starts yapping at me, and I don't even remember what he's saying, but he's like, we want to see some funny, you know, he was in the front row, hoisting a beer. I'm just like, oh, man, this guy's getting, I said, hey, man, what's your name? So I talked to him, because I acknowledged him. What's your name, bro? Oh, I'm Tom. You know, and I kind of acknowledged him, and I said, all right, man. Well, I met you now, and now you're done.
Now you're done. Transaction over with asshole.
Yeah, now you're going to be quiet for all the comedians. And he's just like, yeah, man. You know. And anyway, I might have had a guest set that night, but anyway, he goes up. The guest set goes up, and he's just being annoying again.
He's at it. Who was doing the guest set?
I forgot who it was. Right, but
so
it ruined their
set. So he's going at a guy who's doing 5 minutes.
So then I go up there after the guest set, and I now at this point. You know, because like you said, I let the first one go. I let the first set go.
Yeah.
Now I said, hey, bro, you got to be quiet.
Yeah.
You just got to be quiet. And everybody around here wants to enjoy the show, right? And they all clap, you know, that thing. You get the audience to go against them.
No, sure.
Know?
Well, that's the.
Because I'm hosting. I'm not the headliner now. Yeah. I can't just rip into them because I'm the headliner. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm the MC. So, you know, anyway, I go up there. Now I bring the feature up. The feature goes up. He's going after him again. He's just being loud. He's interrupting punchlines. He's. Just screaming and yelling.
People?
Portofino's didn't have any bouncers or anybody that's going to kick this guy out. So now I go up and I go, hey, bro, you really need to be quiet now. Now it's I'm getting serious because I'm about to bring up whoever
you
the headliner was.
You need to shut the fuck up.
And he goes crazy. He gets up
and
he goes, you can't tell me what to do. And blah, blah, blah,
so he's a drunk ass.
So he's doing all that and he's getting up and like people at his table are getting up. So he.
So nobody at his table tried
Kenny
to calm him
there.
Down.
Kenny was there, and he's a big guy, and he came over, and
yeah,
we, just said,
a
hey,
big
we
dude.
Just said, hey, you got to leave.
Yeah.
So the guy goes out into the lobby bar of Portofino's, and he actually stays out there. because it's like wife or whatever.
And he's waiting for.
And he's just waiting out there. No, he's just waiting out there. He just didn't want to come back in.
And his wife didn't follow him. She's so embarrassed.
Well, his wife stayed at the table because there was other people there.
Yeah.
So he's out in the lobby. And
I'd love to know what their home life is.
Headliner goes up. Everything's quiet. We got the guy out of there. It was a great show.
Yeah.
He didn't have any heckler moments. It was great.
Yeah.
Show's over with, and everybody's going out that door. You've been there before. It's that one door in the back by the door that goes outside the restaurant. All of a sudden, Kenny or somebody comes back in and goes, "Hey, this guy is out here waiting for you." And this guy
waiting for Kenny or for you?
Me, the guy that I kicked out or just told he should wait outside, is waiting for me. And he must have had a few beers out there because waiting for me, or waiting for the show to end. But this guy wants me to come outside.
Yeah.
Well, an undercover cop was in the a wine dot cop that was not working. I shouldn't say undercover. He was not working. Saw all this going on,
and he knew what was going to happen.
The guy threatening me in the bar.
Good for him.
So he calls the cop. He calls his precinct and says, "Hey, get up here." So as this guy's threatening me, cops walk in.
Good thing.
And they pretty much arrest the guy because he's like, "I want to kill this guy." He starts saying, "I want to kill this guy."
I want to kill this guy.
So now they're like,
"Sal,
well, we can't
Sal D'Amelio."
Yeah. All from
the nicest guy in comedy, whom everybody loves. This guy won. Well, see, that's okay. That's the on one hand guy.
Yeah. So as Kenny's helping me, not helping me, but he's like escorting me to my car. There's three cops putting this guy into a cop car. I'm getting put into my car by Kenny. And literally he's like, I want to kill that guy
kill.
He's
still in front of the cops.
In the cop car.
I want to kill that guy.
Yeah, he kicked me out, this and that. Yeah, so that happened at Portofino. That's a show. That's an actual comedy show.
Okay,
that ended with cops taking this guy to a precinct.
I'm not glad that
happened to
you. And
his wife getting into a car and following the cop car.
I love that you brought that up because that is the level that this craziness can get to. And we've seen it in this business. We've been a part of it. I've been a part of, near riots before. People losing their mind, right?
Tell me yours.
And I didn't even know that one.
That's true. Yeah,
that's
you can ask
hysterical.
My ex-wife on that one. Or you can ask Kenny Wanzel as well. Yeah.
Well, crazy. Okay, I have a couple of them, but I'm only going to do one tonight. We'll save the other one for another episode. This is, I want to say this is like 8 years ago. This is at Leo's Comedy Corner in Windsor, in Canada. For our listeners who don't know where Windsor is, it's in Ontario, Canada, which is actually south of Detroit. You take the tunnel or the bridge south to get to Canada.
Yeah, that Journey song, "Pony Raises South," that's Canada. South Detroit is Canada.
Yeah, right.
No, I'm just kidding.
Well, that's a good point. People listen to that Journey song all the time, right?
Yeah.
You know, "Pony Raising South Detroit." There is no South Detroit. South Detroit is the river, okay? Let's put that to bed right now. There's no such thing as South Detroit. Don't Stop Believing. Great song. Great memories of that song, but it's so funny that they didn't even check whether there was a South Detroit.
Well, technically, there is a South Detroit. It's just it's only about two blocks.
But
right?
What would that be?
I mean, you got South Detroit would be along 75, like where Zug Island is. That's
okay, but there's nobody living there. It's like
if you want to get some
factory or something.
Yeah, if you want to get some asbestos lungs.
Go to South Detroit.
Maybe that's what Journey was trying to kill off their listeners.
That's right. There is a definite place in Detroit that is south.
Yeah.
Right? There's the southernmost part of Detroit, but it's not a place.
Yeah, well, the song goes born and raised in South Detroit, but they don't finish the line with it died 2 months later from an asbestos.
Born and raised on Zug Island. Okay. So, okay, so that's a lot about South Detroit. So
we're doing rude Detroit jokes in the townhouse.
I know.
Detroit bar.
I know.
Restaurant.
Isn't it funny the looks we're getting because we're laughing so hard? It's okay, people. This is a podcast. We have our little Sal and Bob. Okay, let me give you a visual here, folks. When we go and we do a remote, which is what we're doing tonight, it's different than a live show because the live show, people know they're in the show.
Yeah.
A remote, we're just off in the corner. We have a little sign up. So people know, don't come up and, if you want to come up, ask for the show. That's great. So we got a little sign up. People keep looking at us over here like, what are these idiots laughing about? Because we're having fun. That's what this is about. Anyhow, so my heckler moment, the one that I remember most distinctly was over at Leo's Comedy Corner. And we love Leo Dufour. Come on. I mean, he's given so many people opportunities over the years, and his lovely wife, Diane, they ran the Comedy Corner for, I don't know.
Beautiful people. Man.
Was it 25 years? I don't even know how many years.
Yeah, and hopefully it gets back going.
And they did right up until the pandemic, and then it just became too problematic, too crazy, and I hope that they started up again. But a lot of us got our first international experience crossing the Detroit River over into Windsor, Ontario, Canada, into Leo's Comedy Corner. And I was there one night with Matt McClowry, our friend Matt.
Yeah.
And we love Matt.
Doing
and his lovely
big
wife,
things.
Patty.
Big things. Oh, yeah. Big things, Matt, is what
big
I like
things,
to call
Matt. Yeah, he's a big guy. We
that's
love
what
Matt.
I like to call him. That's his nickname. Big, big things,
big
Matt.
Big things, Matt. I didn't know that. That's his,
well,
that's, did we
I
give
just
him
made
Matt?
It. No, I just made it up.
All right.
I think he should be called Big Things big Matt. Things I swear Matt. To God. I don't know why.
If, and by the way, if you ever see Matt McClowry on a bill, go to that
you
show.
You do that too.
Very, very funny guy.
Your last per minute will be up.
Yes.
If you
yes.
go see him.
And his lovely wife, Patty, we're all good friends here. And
big things, man.
It was one of these shows. I don't even remember the lineup. The lineup generally was Leo was going to do more time than anybody, as he should, because it's his club. But he would host the show, and he would do 15 minutes. And then somebody else would come up and do 20. And then Leo would do another 10 minutes. And then somebody else would do, you know, 15. And Leo would do 10. And then somebody else was called the headliner. And then Leo would close the show, right?
Yeah.
So these two-hour shows would happen in Windsor. But somehow they all...
They were great. They just worked.
They just worked.
It's unbelievable.
And I learned so much from Leo. And had such
master.
A great...
Master class, if you want to want to watch him.
Or, yeah,
you
know. And we're gonna have to call him up after this show and tell him to listen to this. We kudos to you, Leo.
You and Diane.
You taught Diane. You taught hundreds of comedians, maybe thousands, to do their craft. So here we are, and I don't remember what place I was in. I think Leo opened, and then there was a guest set, maybe two guest sets, and then I was up next, and there were these like three or four idiots. That were three or four rows back from the stage that were yapping and just being dummies and drunk. And I had to shut them up a couple times. I said, hey, guys, listen, you know, if you're having trouble now, there's like two more people after me. You know, maybe this isn't the place for you. Right.
Yeah.
So they weren't like openly hostile, but they glared and they were just jerks. Right. So they did this throughout my set. And I finally said, hey, look, that's enough. All right. Now, Leo wasn't there that night. And neither was, and I forget the other guy there. He was sort of not the bouncer, but he was
Stoney?
A big guy. Not Stoney, no. Stoney would open a lot. He passed now. But anyway, he was there. He was sort of the muscle because he was the biggest of the guys in the room. And there was no one there. So I sort of had to handle this myself. I said, hey, look, we got a couple more guys coming up, and you guys need to shut up. So then I introduced Matt, right? Now, Matt comes up. And
big
Matt,
things, Matt.
Big things, Matt. And he comes up, and he's doing his usual stellar, you know, tight set, funny, smart, you know, relevant, the whole thing. And these dipshits are heckling him. Now they're being mean. They're heckling.
Yeah,
they're just yelling at him. I'm like, okay, this is not going to happen.
Yeah.
So my heckler moment is actually when Matt was on stage, right? So I'm getting pissed now. So I walk around to the back of the audience and I sort of slither my way through the crowd and I get to their table and I'm kneeling. And I said, guys, listen, I need you to stop. You got a very funny guy on stage, and the rest of the crowd can't hear what's going on because you won't stop. And this guy says, fuck you. I'm like, okay, game on. So all these idiots are wearing hats, okay, on backwards. So I'm like, okay, they're mine. So I grab all their hats off their heads. Boom, 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 right?
Nice.
And I said, okay, follow me. And this guy's like, hey, ass, you don't take my hat. I said, all right, come on, man. You want your hat back? Follow me. So
nice.
I'm leading them through the crowd. Like rats through a maze, which is what they were.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, what the hell did I just do? Now I got to lead them down that winding staircase at Leo's, which is like something out of a medieval castle.
Yeah.
And what am I going to do? If when I'm thinking, okay, you know, right hand, left hook, whatever I got to do to survive, you know, three guys on these stairs. I get them down to the bottom of the stairs. I said, hey, look, knock it off, man. You just got to stop. In that moment, Leo walks in. These guys are yelling at me. I'm yelling at them. He goes, what the hell's going on here, Bob? I said, hey, Leo, I'm sorry. These guys were... You know, they're just interrupting everything. So now Leo takes over. Now, Leo's not a huge guy. What is Leo? Maybe 6'1"?
He's 6'3".
Yeah, he's 6'3"?
Tall.
Okay.
He's tall and skinny.
But he's tall and skinny. But he's commanding. And he's had enough of this shit.
Yeah,
he's
like,
this is my club. He tells all three of them, you're gone. The fuck out of my club now.
Nice.
And he just points. And it's understood. They got to go.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
They leave. I'm like, hey, thanks. But he goes, what happened here? I'm like, man, I'm sorry. I had to do this, but they were really causing shit up there. So we go upstairs. Matt's doing his set. So now the show's over, right? So just like you, they're waiting for me.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're drunk. They're stupid idiots. They don't know what they're doing. And I walk out, and Matt and I walk out. I said, hey, bud, you know, it's, you know, good night. I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah.
He says, "You're going to be all right?" I say, "I'll be fine." So these idiots are pointing at me, and wow. I just stopped, and all I could think of was, I'm standing right here. What do you want? I'm standing right here.
Yeah.
What? So I walked out. I walked through the parking lot, you know, with my, you know, the eyes in the back of my head.
Yeah.
Got in my car, and I drove off, and I went, whoo! Okay.
Wow.
We all dodged
the
bullet.
So we both had almost the same similar experience.
Yeah.
You know, about that Leo's room, was it the one that you did, the one that was upstairs, and then the parking lot was in the back?
Yes.
The one on Olette.
The long rectangular room. Yeah.
Yeah, so that I got just a quick story. I was doing that room, and this was back in the day when you could still smoke on the inside of the club.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I remember
at least
that.
In Canada you could. I don't know if it's changed from the American rule. But anyway, you could smoke. So Leo would do these great fundraisers up there, just like you just described.
Oh, man, he did some great
ones. I mean, just amazing.
Yeah.
150 people, whatever. And then one night, you know, like you just said, you know, sometimes you headlined it, sometimes you didn't. And this one particular show, he goes, hey, you're gonna headline this group. And this was a long time ago. This is when you could still smoke in the inside. So I was a little nervous because I was headlining for him.
Yeah.
But, you know, as you just described, Leo put up a bunch of comics before, and the show would always go a little long and all that.
But it worked somehow.
It definitely worked. So the night I'm headlining, every comic that went up is just absolutely crushing. You know, just having great sets, and the crowd is hot.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no hecklers, no nothing. It's just
hot crowd.
It's just a perfect, perfect group of people that are laughing at everything and just having a good time.
Like,
and
I can't wait for my turn.
I can't wait to get up there. And I forgot who the comics were again, but all of a sudden, Leo goes up there to get ready to introduce me, and he goes, all right, well, we'll be back in 10 minutes with Sal D'Amelio, because he lets everybody go smoke.
Yeah, yeah.
And, dude, I'm not kidding you. Like, literally 90% of the crowd got up and left to go smoke.
The intermission.
Now, I go, wow, this is amazing. How am I going to get them back up? And Leo goes, dude, don't worry, man. These guys come back up and they're ready to have a good time. I'm like, really? He's like, they do.
Leo knows.
And it's like 8 minutes is going by. Now it's a long time. So I walk down those stairs, those same stairs that you said you were dealing with those kids. And I go out in the back, and there's like 40 people out there smoking.
Yeah.
And as I walk out into the parking lot, they all know that I'm a comedian, and they all know they haven't seen me yet.
Yeah.
So they go, hey, are you the guy going up last, you know, upstairs? And I go, yeah, I am. They're like, tell us some jokes right now. So they're
not
smoking.
For free.
And they want me to do some I go, guys, I'm going to be doing my jokes in 5 minutes as soon as you. No, man, just tell. They weren't being rude. They're like, come on, man, just tell us. Just tell. I go, all right. So I like start doing my act, and I hold a Miller Lite bottle as my freaking, you know,
mic.
Or a Molson, you know. And I do like 3 minutes of my act, and they're laughing. They're having a great time. They're smoking their cigarettes.
Yeah.
And Leo goes, hey, we're starting the show. Like, Leo yells,
don't give it away, Sal.
He goes, we're starting the show, you know. So everybody sits back down. Obviously, it's like, you know, 7 minutes later or whatever. And I get introduced. Leo gives me a great introduction. I go up there. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to start at where I started downstairs. The crowd was like, yeah, say him over again. You know, so I did like that little 5 minutes over again. They laughed just as hard.
Oh,
it was
an
unbelievable show. They got right back on the comedy train, so to speak.
And Leo was right again, wasn't he?
There was no interruption.
Yeah.
It was like was like nothing
no
had
drop
happened.
Off.
No drop off. Leo went up there. He told like a couple minutes. And he goes, here's your headliner. And I went up there, and then I screwed around. I told those same jokes that I told downstairs while they were smoking.
Yeah.
And they loved it. You know, anyway.
Good time,
I just wanted to point
you know,
that
I'm
out.
Hearing that story, and my heart is racing, and I'm just jubilant, because I know, you know, those moments are so great. That's what we live for, you know? And I'm picturing it all, because I know that room like the back of my hand. I know the stage. I know the staircase. I know the parking lot. And I know those people. It was great, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So here's to you, Leo and Diane.
Leo and Diane, happy New Year to you guys.
Kind of got off track there.
No, that's
but I'm glad that you provided the sorbet to cleanse the listeners' palates from hearing some negative heckler stories. You had a great example of what a hot crowd can do for you as a comedian and a knight. When people come together and it's just joyous, right?
Yeah.
That's the way we want to end this show, right?
Well, speaking of that, where are you going to be where you won't be having any hecklers? Do you got anything coming up?
No hecklers. Yeah, I'm going to be at, first of all, we have our monthly show, January 20th.
January 20th, first
Genetti's.
Show of the year. Already got almost 75% of the tickets are sold.
Yep. If you're listening to this now and it's we are a couple of days into the new year, call Genetti's. Because those tickets don't last, and we've sold out every single show so far. We're not bragging. We're just happy. We love
That's
it.
That's great. People
and
like
our,
to come
and our,
out.
And our special guests that night, we're going to have Howard Glazer, one of the premier blues men in the world. And he's a permanent part of our show. We love Howard. Come out and watch him. And we're going to have Jason Gillerin. He's going to be opening after Sal and I do, after Sal and I do our thing. Then Dan Britton, right?
Dan Britton, great. And got married there. Got married
there. Oh, that's right.
It's the only place that would let him have his dogs as his best man.
That's right.
So they let the dogs come in. And, so.
And then Melanie Hearn, very funny. Just back from L.A. She's going to be closing
She crushes, man. She's so good.
She's very funny. I mean, they're all funny. And
they're
Melanie
all funny.
Is
all
a very
funny.
Special
it's gonna
kind
be an amazing
funny.
Show. Yeah, amazing show. I'm actually going to be, if anybody's listening to this during the week of January 2nd here, I'm going to be at the State Theater in Midland with a good friend of the show, Rob Little. And I'll be doing two shows on Friday at 7 p.m., Saturday at 7 p.m. Please go to the State Theater of Midland for those tickets. And then on Friday, January 14th, I'll be headlining the second show at the Brouhaha.
Yeah, man. Good for you.
In Saginaw. So I'm excited about that. I've done that a couple times.
2,000 people. That is a hell of a venue, buddy. And I'm really happy for you. That's a lot of fun.
I'm really excited because we do this, you know, we do this a lot in front of 20 people. So it's nice to do that.
Some of these.
It's nice to do it in front of a big crowd like that where, look, you don't have to have every person laugh on a crowd like that. If you can get 90% of them, you're making over 2,000 people laugh. So it's a pretty cool,
yeah. I mean,
cool experience.
You're
so.
Gonna you've done that stage before. I don't
I
need
have
to
done
tell
it.
You.
I have done it. So
I have to say, my remembrance is that even a word? My remembrance, my memory of that stage, and it's been 3 years since I've done it, was that it was so electric. And it was it was a full house. I think we had 1,900 plus, so call it full, you know, 2,000 seats. And it was so electric that when the laughs came at you, it was like a wave of energy. And that's all how I can describe it, because it literally knocked me back and I realized I had to let that wave of laughter die down
Correct.
Before I got into a new joke. And you're going to have to do that because you're headlining.
Correct.
And,
yeah, and you know, and look up at the balcony
your
people.
Your 45-minute set, however many jokes you have in that, you're probably going to do about half to two-thirds of it.
That's crazy. Crazy to think, you know.
Yeah, because you got to let the laughs die down.
Yeah.
It's nirvana. It's joyousness.
It really
you,
is. I've done it a couple times. And it's, I tell you, man, when you say a joke that, you know, you wrote, sitting on your couch one day just because you thought it was funny, and then you hear 2,000 people laugh at it. I mean, are you kidding me? There's not a drug better than that.
That's a great point.
I don't think there's a drug better than that.
There's no high like a.
So I'm looking forward to it. And then you know what? The following week, I'll look forward to the 30-person show at some VFW hall. I don't give a shit.
We've done that too.
I just want to work. So there's bookers listening to this. SalDiMillo.com. Book me. I will come to
BobPhillipsComedy.com. We'll both come.
Any end of the earth. But man, let's grab a good meal. Jennifer just told us our meals are about
Can't
to come
wait.
Out. Man, check this place out, Townhouse in Detroit.
Yeah.
You won't be let down. You'll probably see a Red Wing wife or a politician or a city council woman or man, or you'll just see a good neighbor.
You won't see Kwame anywhere about.
You won't see Kwame. Although I don't know, he's out now, right?
I don't think
he's married
he comes.
Now. He got married.
Well, yeah, I don't know why I said that. I hope we don't see Kwame.
In my prediction, as we get to 1 week away, Alabama just won. Michigan is about to play. We don't know what's going to happen in that game. Alabama just won, though.
Yeah.
I'm going to say no matter what. I think Michigan's going to get killed, and I think the Lions are going to get killed on Sunday. Those are my predictions.
Okay.
And I think Alabama's going to play Georgia in the national championship game. And I think Alabama's going to take it all again.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to refute any of that. I would love to see U of M win. I don't know how they're going to cope with the Georgia defense, but, hey, we'll have to
wait and see
what
happens. But thanks for listening to the Sal and Bob Show. Check us out on all the avenues. Go to @BobTheSuit for his Twitter page.
Yep.
And
@SallyDOH. We're so social.
BobPhillips.com, SalDiMillo.com, Perfective Podcast, Sal and Bob Show. Every week.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.